You may have seen the news this week that the National Trust has discovered that a high proportion of its properties were built on the proceeds of the slave trade. But unlike their owners' statues, I suspect that those buildings will not be torn down. You know, they're all big country houses and things. There's no doubt that in some respects, like all empires throughout history, we have had a terrible colonial past. But we can't undo that. What we can do to turn our reputation completely around, like the first son in the gospel, is to champion the marginalised and the poor, the voiceless and the exploited, by not just saying yes to reducing carbon emissions, to not selling arms to powerful nations for use against smaller ones, to increasing our foreign aid budget, but with a sense of corporate responsibility to actually carry these things out. Everyone knows that actions speak louder than words. Corporate responsibility is something the people of Israel, House of Israel, believed in, especially when things went wrong, arguing that everyone suffered from the sins of those in authority. But as we see in the first reading, the prophet Ezekiel rejects that argument, and for the first time in their history, introduces the notion of individual responsibility. From now on, he says, it can no longer be denied that we each have a personal responsibility to do the right thing. In the last century, for example, the Nuremberg trials showed that the claim, "I was simply obeying orders," was not accepted as a plea of innocence from people who knew that those orders were evil. And in a similar way, personal responsibility means that all those good things I mentioned that our nation can do to bring about justice and peace in the world are never going to happen unless enough individuals embrace a lifestyle to make them happen. And in telling the story of the two sons to the chief priests and elders, Jesus knew he was taking on a corporate body of yes men who made all the right religious noises, but who were deaf to John the Baptist's call for everyone to acknowledge their own sins. Jesus points out to them that the untouchables, who lived lives apparently rejecting God's commands, did listen to John's message. They repented, and as he says, are now making their way into the kingdom of God. The success of John's message on such unlikely material, tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, should have alerted the leaders to recognize that here was something of God, who through John had touched those who initially said, "I will not go," but thought better of it and went. And by rejecting John, the religious leaders showed themselves to be like the second son, mouthing the words, but failing in true obedience of the heart. The alternative, of course, to accepting personal responsibility is, like the Israelites, to put the blame for one's own shortcomings on the authorities. In the current crisis, for example, it would be so easy to blame the government for the state that we're in, but as is being clearly shown, this problem is never going to be solved either by government edict or policing, but only by individuals making a personal decision to cooperate with the advice that we're given. Moving away from national and international issues to our own personal spiritual lives, it's clear from Ezekiel that God doesn't dwell on the faults of our past. People are not forever damned by what they've done, if, like the first son, they think better and obey God's word. In literature, redemption, which is what it's about really, is everywhere and makes a great story, of course, you know, like Sidney Carton in The Tale of Two Cities, who was a lifelong, lazy, alcoholic lawyer who cares for nothing for no one, but in the end sacrifices his life to save another man's life. "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done." In real life, redemption's there too, like Jonathan Aitken, the MP, who, as you might remember, was jailed for perjury, but who's now a vicar, an advocate for prison reform. So with God's grace and obedience to his word by action and not just lip service, anyone can turn their life around.